It is time for our weekly look at another Culloden, Cusack, and Warmer Dam inquest jury recommendation here on Lake 88. Now, just so people know, we will be referring to IPV or intimate partner violence several times throughout this chat. Joining me, as always, to talk about this is Aaron Lee, Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House. And we continue under the funding model here, Aaron. And first off, thank you so much for doing this again.
It is my pleasure.
And we're up to, it's hard to believe it, but we're up to recommendation 19. That means that we have been doing this for 19 weeks here on Lake 88, making sure that people know about this. And just before we do move on, I just want to make sure that people also know that you can review all of these recommendations on our website, lanarkleadstoday.ca. Go to the local news tab, click it, and you'll see it's one of the options there. And boom, there they all are. And we have these discussions for anyone who would like to use those as a resource. As I said, we continue under the funding banner. And number 19 is to create an emergency fund, such as the She Can Fund, in honor of Carol Culloden, Anastasia Cusack, and Natalie Warmerdam, to support women living with IPV who are taking steps to seek safety. Now, Aaron, this particular recommendation is broken down in some very specific parts. Maybe you can go over those for us.
Sure, Bob. I think that it's important to know that CAN, in this particular recommendation, stands for Carol, Anastasia, and Natalie. And it's been a theme that's been used throughout the inquest process. So I think it's important to point that out. I think that what this is about is it's about providing access. It's about recognizing that women come in all shapes and sizes and different socioeconomic and places in the world. So I think that this fund is to provide easy, low barrier access for survivors who are seeking to improve safety. That they can be referred to the fund by service providers, and that it's small grants of up to $7,000. And that really what we want is we want it to have no impact on any other funding a woman may be receiving. So whether that's Ontario Works, if that's Ontario Disability Support Plan, if it means that she's working in another job. And I think that, you know, that's up to $7,000 could be anything. It's a significant investment in supporting survivors to reinvent themselves. It's a significant investment in supporting survivors to evolve. It could mean that they need security devices that are not being provided for through the regular channels. It could be that they need a specific tool related to their particular disability that's not provided for. It could mean that they want to start a business of some sort that helps them in terms of their healing process. So we want it to not negatively impact somebody. We want it to be specifically geared to and recognize the needs of rural and remote survivors of intimate partner violence. So it may be used to help with transportation for a woman to get to her healing services. And that we'd like to see the funding be provided on an annualized basis, and that it's run through agencies that are already funded through the government so that the accountability process is already clearly defined. And I think it's really about saying, hey, you know, women don't need a handout. Sometimes women need a hand up and survivors need a hand up. So how can we develop this fund in honor of these women to offer a hand up to women who, like those three, were brave and courageous and were taken?
And what... to me, this is, it's hard to not to say this, but it's one of the most important. There are so many of these recommendations that are the most important, right? And I'm not trying to rank them, but this is one of the barriers that so many victims face, is that financial insecurity and thinking, well, I would like to make a move away from this situation, but I can't afford it. And that is part of what keeps them where they are in those dangerous situations. So to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, getting the word out about this and making sure that this is at the forefront of that educational component would be vital.
Yeah, I think that in some communities, access is very much different. And I think when you add the rural equation, there's so many more barriers in terms of the getting out, the moving on, the planning, the escape, all of it. And I think that you're right, getting the word out that there are needs, working with creative partners like Shelter Movers, who's moved into our rural community, knowing that there are people like Pat Jeeves, who was once a director here, who left us some legacy funds to support specifically just that. How do we give women a hand up when they are, you know, and not just women, but survivors of all genders? How do we give them a hand up when they're looking at moving forward and reinventing themselves and ultimately staying as safe as possible from the violence and the threat?
Well, this is certainly one, Aaron, that we will be watching very closely as things develop. But, you know, I think we both agree that this is certainly vital, that hand up that you keep talking about. I mean, it is just, it's a difference in many cases between life and death.
I agree with you 100%. And validation and support in this way is just another way that our systems can really come together to support survivors.
Aaron, as always, thank you so much for doing this. We'll talk to you again next week right here on LanarkLeadsToday.ca. And of course, the story is featured on Lake 88. So yes, we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks so much.
I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks so much for listening.